Mirror life may not be an immediate threat, but what is worrying young people right now is climate change. Last week at the Australian Museum, the book Future Right Now, Young People, Climate and a Vibrant Democracy was launched. It's a record of the thousands of actions and writings of young people all over Australia, personal statements of what matters to them, and even pictures of their posters has flourished during protests involving science, conservation and, of course, climate. The editor is Michelle Cantanzaro, an associate professor at the University of Western Sydney.
So one of the things that we really noticed at the strikes and that everybody kind of sees and seems to photograph is that young people are obviously carrying placards with them. Those placards are a way for young people to communicate their political demands, how they're feeling. And we started deciding to document those rather than allow the media to curate particular signs. What happens when we start to look at those as a collection over a long period of time?
And so you got an idea of what young people are thinking or feeling. What were some of the stats?
So there's some really interesting things that came through. Firstly, about just how the placards are made. So 87% of the placards are made by hand, which is quite remarkable when we think about the fact that young people are the digital generation. We've done some research about why that's the case, reducing cognitive load and climate anxiety. The hand represents truth. And also this rejection of technology, which is part of the ethos of the movement as well. Some of the other stats that 91% of all the signs we captured are in capital letters. So everyone's gotten an angry text message in caps before. So there's a shouting and an urgency to the messages that are being delivered. And we also did a semiotic analysis where we looked at the use of symbols and signs on the placards to try to understand young people's visual literacy. And the most commonly utilised symbol was Earth, but it was used in lots of different ways. And I think what that really does is speak to a global vernacular that connects a striker in Melbourne with a striker in Paris, that they understand that climate action is a global issue and that there's a community aspect to that. And we also looked at the use of text on the signs. We tracked how often people said we and how often people said I. And we showed up double the amount of times as I.
I see. But what about the mood of it? For instance, how many were frightened and how many were angry, perhaps?
What came up time and time again, so we've looked at the entire movement, and the most consistently highest ranking emotions are motivated and empowered. That's really consistent with international research that talks about these mobilizing emotions being an antidote for the fear and anxiety that people feel about climate change in their everyday life. But despite that, fear still shows up across it as sort of a low ebb, so it shows up at a 7 to 11% fear throughout 2019 to 2024.
And wasn't anger higher?
So anger's a really interesting one. It seems to move with political events, which I think is really interesting because it demonstrates young people's engagement in real time with what's happening in politics. So the highest that we saw anger was at 19%, and that was at the 6th of May School Strike for Climate protest, which was ahead of the 2022 election. So at the time, we had Scott Morrison and the Liberal government in power. Young people showed up and were incredibly angry about what was happening or not happening in relation to climate policy. But after the election, the next protest, the anger dropped all the way down to 3 or 4%.
Interesting. Now, one that really shocked me was a poster that said, "We don't need science, we've got Facebook."
Yes. So that was a poster that was made by a design visual communication student. And what the data tells us is that less than 1% of young people use science to communicate about the climate crisis. And what they do instead is use humour, they use emotions, they use strategic communication forms to connect with their audiences. And so the poster that you're referring to was a student who made a poster that talked about Facebook as a means for people's data. But if you notice, there was actually a little label on the person's T-shirt that said, "Hello, I'm from the Australian government."
Right. Yes. I didn't see. It was on the far distant wall. So how are you going to follow this up?
I think that what we're seeing is a way for visual communication continue existing in other spaces. So the work that we've done with the Australian Museum, we've done previously with the Powerhouse, is about taking young people's messages and moving them into spaces that are sanctioned, like the museum. So interestingly, you take a protest placard that can be dismissed by the news and politicians on the streets, and you move it into a gallery and people engage with it differently. So the message is the same, but the context changes, and therefore so does the impact.
It's very interesting getting that sort of perspective, because we imagine that most young people are disengaged from straight politics and don't have the information, certainly don't read newspapers or watch television news.
Well, we also tracked the use or reference to politics in the placards. And ahead of the election at that 2022 protest, 13% of the posters referenced voting. So vote consciously, vote like your life depends on it, because it does. So, you know, they're demonstrating that they understand political systems that they are locked out of. But across the board, so 2019 to 2024, the highest reference to politics was actually communicated visually through reference to policy. So that's pretty impressive that we're talking about young people who are referencing direct policy for change in the climate space.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Thank you.
Associate Professor Michelle Catanzaro from the University of Western Sydney and editor of the book launched last week, Future Right Now. Young people, climate, and a vibrant democracy. Bill, you've been to a few climate protests, haven't you?
Well, when I was a young person, sure. I quite like going because they have such a good vibe, but also the placards are, some of them are quite funny and really imaginative and quite beautifully put together. So a few of my favourites are "Like the Oceans, We Rise," "Keep Earth Clean, It's Not Uranus," "Don't Be a Fossil Fool," and "So Bad, Even the Introverts Are Here." So some really nice ones out there. There's probably loads more in that book, Future Right Now, which was launched last week.
Yes. Also at the launch, I met Annabelle Smith. She's just 10 and wrote this poem, "Hope for Mountain Pygmy Possums," which features in the Future Right Now book. Here she is.
I'm 10 years old. I go to Oyster Bay Public School.
Oyster Bay. And the name of your poem?
It's called "Hope for Mountain Pygmy Possums."
Mountain pygmy? Have you ever seen one up the mountain?
No, I haven't. I don't go to the mountains often. I live more close to the beach.
Read me, please, the poem.
Like a mountain pygmy possum emerging from under a blanket of snow after a long, frosty winter, I dream that the world will wake up and realise the problem at hand. Like a mountain pygmy possum uses its acute hearing to listen for predators and find prey, I hope the government will listen, stop greenwashing, and start taking real action. Like mountain pygmy possums snuggle together to share warmth, this is a problem we all share. People of all ages, beliefs, and nationalities need to work together to find a solution. Like a mother possum builds a nest out of moss and snowgrass to protect her young, I believe that together we can fix this and protect our furry friends and the fragile earth that we share.
Thank you very much, Annabelle.
Thank you.
Annabelle Smith, another Belle Smith, with her poem "Hope for Mountain Pygmy Possums."